This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focus reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Right now, let's find opportunity where others don't. Now, if you've ever thought about starting a business, chances are you've heard the same advice, such as, come up with a brilliant idea, raise capital, build a brand, and then hope customers find you. But what if we've been thinking a lot about entrepreneurship rather all wrong? What if the smartest business strategy isn't creating something entirely new, but instead positioning yourself where opportunity already exists? Now, that's the powerful premise behind Other People's Businesses, OPB. That's a new book by South African fintech entrepreneur, author, and social philanthropist Keletso Malubi. Just to give you some background, drawing on real township business experiences and practical entrepreneurial lessons, the book challenges conventional thinking. And it also argues that success often comes, well, not from creating traffic, but from serving the traffic that's already there. Keletso now joins us to take a closer look at this refreshing approach to entrepreneurship. Keletso, good afternoon to you and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, man. Thank you so much. What a great intro. I don't think I will introduce myself.
Well, there it is. And that's about you, philanthropist Keletso Malubi. Keletso, once again, great to have you on the show. Now, the title, Other People's Businesses. That's an attention grabber in itself. So what exactly do you mean by Other People's Businesses? And why did you feel this was an important book to write?
I mean, the title itself, it was coined from what I believe already existed. There are so many businesses, or people rather, who have started their own businesses by using other people's traffic. We can even say by stealing other people's traffic, right? So the book was actually inspired by a car wash that I run, which is located next to a very busy restaurant. So what gave me the idea was, you know what, rather than just finding an empty plot and starting a car wash, how about I look for a place where traffic is already there, meaning clients, my potential clients are already there, whereby at this restaurant that I'm referring to, there's a lot of traffic that happens there each and every single day. People love that restaurant because it serves delicious food and the customer service is always excellent. So they are like, in a day, you can find 100 cars parked there. And if you think about it, when people are eating, why not rather get your car washed at the same time, right? So now I am also adding an added benefit to the restaurant owner, who say, while your customers are eating your delicious food, we can also get their cars washed. And then that's how this idea came about. And it actually hit me when I was starting out. You know, when you start out, business is quite slow. You don't have a lot of clients. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I can start writing. And that's when I did. And actually, this is my third book that I've written. And it's a very short and nice book, 70 pages long and straight to the point. So Other People's Businesses is a term that I coined, just like Robert Kiyosaki coined Other People's Money. So this is the idea behind the book, to say let's rather put it on paper so that more people can understand it.
Indeed. And how is the book taken off? How has it been received out there?
Well, the book has just been released now. Obviously reactions are quite impressive, and people are quite interested in the book. So we are busy planning to actually turn this into a framework, something that can be taught to high school learners who are interested in starting a business, right? Because we've always been saying, why isn't the education system teaching people about businesses? Now, this is the opportunity that I am looking to attack with this framework called Other People's Businesses. So, yeah.
Okay, so...
In terms of...
Sorry, carry on, Keletso. You said in terms of you're going to complete something.
Okay, yes, I'm saying in terms of the book, it is quite receiving a good response, and we are actually planning to launch it. We haven't decided on the date, and in the book I have quite few examples that people I can say Harold Soweto would know of, right? So in the book, I speak also about my friend who runs a sushi business at a very busy pub and restaurant called the Sofeng in Soweto, right? So if you think about it, sushi is relatively new in our communities, especially in the township. When you tell someone about sushi, they always think about it as a foreign thing. Now, if Tepiso decided to start this business, maybe let's say at the back room of his house, I mean, he would have to invest a lot in terms of marketing and advertising.
Of course.
But when you find a prominent venue that already has traffic, that already has people following their social media pages, now it means you are not going to be investing a lot in terms of marketing your business and advertising it. When the pub and restaurant uses their social media platforms to advertise your business, you already gain trust because they trust the host company, which is in this case the Sofeng pub and restaurant. Do you understand? So that's actually what the book speaks about. It speaks about how important location is. And we do not speak only about a physical location. Mm-hmm. We speak about whether you are an entrepreneur, you have a mentor, you can use your mentor's network to grow your own business and stuff like that. Do you understand?
Right. Okay. So let's talk about location. Let's just look at that in a little more detail. Your book does draw heavily on township economies like taxi rank, schools, restaurants, car washes. Why are these environments such rich examples of entrepreneurship?
Man, I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years now, and I've worked in a lot of industries, and being in those spaces made me actually realize that the township market has a huge potential. Mm. I mean, the revenue that circulates within our community, it's a lot, right? For one example I can use is the mobile networks that we know, such as your Telkom, your Vodacom. A report once said that they are making a lot of money with their prepaid offerings, meaning these airtimes that we buy at local tech shops, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, the reason why I am so much interested in the township economy is because there's a lot of potential and there's a lot of revenue that circulates. And the pie is actually big enough for each and everyone to do what? To chip in and also get a piece of it, right? So, and as you can see, a lot of companies are actually, when you look at their marketing campaigns, they are actually speaking in a language that is used in the townships. So a lot mm-hmm. of companies are now also seeing the opportunity within the township economies. So that's why I'm so much passionate about it. And each and every business that I've started, I also run a bakery called Daily Bread Bakeries. It's also situated in the township. I also host workshops. I also host seminars. They are always based on township economy because I believe that's where the money is.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of interest, could this model that you've just outlined for us today, can it work beyond township or informal economies?
I believe so, man. I believe so because having a conversation with a lot of people regarding the book, like I said, location in this instance doesn't speak about a physical place, mm. right? Let's say, for an example, you work at a radio station or you work at a call center. You know that at a call center, they use a lot of headsets, you know, stuff like equipment. As an employee, you can look at the procurement processes and say, look, I would like to offer to supply the company with headsets. You understand? Or look at other companies that are in your space, like a call center, and say, look, I want to supply you guys with headsets. Now you are creating an opportunity for you at your current location, right? So I believe that, yes, this principle can actually be applied everywhere. As long as you broaden your mind, take yourself as running, being in a radio station, you start looking for opportunities that are around you. You don't have to look at something that is far away. So in most cases, when you find a side hustle that aligns with your current job or current opportunity that you win, it doesn't really shift your focus. It just aligns with it. So that's what location actually means in the book.
Kaletso, South Africa has one of the highest youth unemployment rates in the world. I was discussing this with a guest I have in studio right now. And what would you say to someone who's waiting for the right time, if I can hyphenate that, the right time to start a business?
I always get in trouble when I answer that question because I always say, if you need motivation to start it, don't start it. You understand? Because there's no amount of motivation that will take you through the challenges that you will face when running a business. And even in this book, I even touch on that to say, I don't think we have a problem of people starting businesses. I think we have a problem of people going through the pain of starting a business. Because, for an example, with the car wash, right? When you open a car wash, about 5 to 10 days, your business might be slow. You might not even get a client. But are you willing to wake up the next day at the same time and close at the same time for 10 days consecutively without receiving a customer? That's where the problem is. People start businesses with the hopes of saying, the first day I will receive customers. But what happens when you don't receive customers for the next 10 days? Are you still going to open and stay open and close at the right time, even when you're not getting customers? That's the problem that I think we have. Sure. And also, you know, like in townships, if you've been in township, you will see we have people who are, you know, stopping taxis for us as if we don't have our own hands. But they've seen an opportunity and they've exploited it. Now they are, stopping taxis for us. We just stand there. We act as VIPs. They stop the taxis. They receive a R1. You understand? So sure. This is a term that always been available and used in the township. It's just that we haven't looked at it at that scale as yet.
You know, Coletta, I wish we could, elaborate on this conversation. There's quite a few questions I still would like to fire at you. Figuratively speaking, that is. what I'm saying is, if readers could walk away remembering just one lesson from your book, Other People's Businesses, what would you want that lesson to be? Let's conclude on that note.
A lesson. I think it's something that I've been applying in all my businesses. You don't really need capital to start. But I wouldn't leave it at that. I would say build first a personal brand that people can trust so that they can put money on it. So if you know that you want to start a business, start building relationships that are meaningful so that they can assist you in starting a business. I started my bakery with renting equipment and renting a house, paying around 4,000, 3.5 a month. But now I own 3 branches in just a year. So you can understand that the type of mindset that I have. I always love to have honest conversation with young people.
Indeed. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, perhaps a side hustler, simply someone looking at a future with fresh eyes, there's a valuable lesson in our conversation today. Don't spend all your energy creating traffic. Learn how to serve the traffic that's already there. Coletta, thanks so much for joining us on today's show. South African fintech entrepreneur, author, and social philanthropist Coletta Malubi telling us about, how you can look at creating opportunity and businesses in, shall we say, niche markets, niche areas, finding opportunity where others don't.